through the Lord's Prayer. So would you say them with me? How many knows the Lord's Prayer? Let's do it the King James Version. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. So the line today I want to share about is, forgive our debts, or forgive our trespasses, or forgive our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then if you go down the next line after the Lord's Prayer, remember what it says? Father, if you forgive us, we will be forgiven, but if you do not forgive, he will not forgive us. How many remember that? If you ask him to forgive you, he'll forgive you, but if you do not forgive others, he says he will not forgive you. And so, I know that some of you have heard that sermon before. But I discovered as a pastor that that's one of the things we need to hear quite frequently. Because in our human flesh, we tend to take offense. We tend actually, and this is what I called my sermon, and I'll put the title up there, you just have to imagine it. And it says, them and us. You see, what frequently happens in our fleshly hearts is we divide it all up and it becomes them and it becomes us, and they are wrong and we are right. How many has ever heard that? So I want to share with you in the next few minutes about how God, first of all, why do we need to forgive? Why is it so important? Forgiveness is not about justice. Forgiveness is about the heart. Forgiveness is being right with God and with one another. I was going to show a video, and I can't, but I'm going to just tell you the story. The video I was going to show you is a son. He is now an adult. And he stands in front of his father. And there's a little cards. And the card says, you took everything from me. And you see the father, you see the picture of the father sitting on the chair. And as he reads the card says, you took everything from me. You took my youth. You took my innocence. You took my future. And you took my mom. And you see how the father begins to cry. After the 10th of cards, he can't hold it together anymore. And then comes the card that says, but I forgive you. But that point, the father is in a pool of tears. And he embraces his son. And something happens. You see, the son is being set free. And so is the father. Kathy shared a few minutes ago about her journey home. How many remember how she shared a few minutes ago? A journey home. And the very person she had stolen from, the very person she had hurt, she embraced. She embraced. That's called forgiveness. That's called forgiveness. Nelson Mandela. How many heard of Nelson Mandela? He was in captivity, jail for, I think it was 25 years because of apartheid. He had fought against the injustice of apartheid. And he was in jail, and in jail because he was black, and he was brutalized at times by the guards to the extent that they buried him in the sand up to his neck together and they urinated on him. How many thinks that he has a good reason to be bitter? But when he was released, in his biography, he says, "As I was walking out the door." Upon being released, he says, "As I walked out the door towards the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew that if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I would still be in prison." Why do you need to forgive? Because if you don't, you will still be in prison. In Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12:15, it says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." How many knows that bitterness causes unforgiveness and causes division? How many believe that's true? And it's not until you're able to deal with a bitter root that you become free. And I know some of you are thinking, well, he deserves that. I read this story just recently by a missionary family, Emily and Stephen, and now I can't remember the last name, but the name of the book was We Were Already Dead. And they went together with four kids, I believe, to a North African country that was 100% Muslim. And they began a ministry, a powerful ministry. They set up schools where they could learn English and the women could learn how to sew. They went to the prisons and they had ministry in the prisons. And the whole community really, really began to embrace them and thank them for what they did. But one day a radical Al-Qaeda came and shot Stephen dead. How many knows that that is a bit of a trauma for a family? They went back to the United States, buried him. And the mother said to the daughter, the oldest daughter, "How are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm praying to God, asking permission to hate the man who killed my dad." And the mother was actually encouraged because she knew that she had to walk through this. See, the question then is, what gives her, the mother, and the kids the ability to forgive? Because they did. They forgave the guy who killed them. They went back to the country to continue the ministry. And today she's remarried and has a ministry to Muslims in the United States. But what caused Nelson Mandela to be able to forgive? What caused the mother to be able to forgive? What caused this son who was able to forgive his father? When I got saved, you know, I called my dad because we had some issues. How many has ever had dad issues? He's very controlling. And I had there had been some angry words spoken when I was a young kid. I was a bit rebellious. If he wanted me to have short hair, I had long hair. If he wanted me to have nice jeans, I had the most holy jeans you could find. I was rebellious. But you see, when I got saved, I called him. I said, "Daddy, forgive me for what I did to you." And what I was saying is, I resented him. How many knows that resentment and bitterness is actually the same thing as hatred? And I hated him for a period. And he said, son, we had our differences, but it's past. And by the time he was dead, we died, we had a wonderful relationship. But it was because I had learned that I needed to forgive and ask for forgiveness. So hear me, my friends. How can you do it? How can somebody who has been urinated upon, who has been imprisoned and unjustly imprisoned for years and years and years, just because he stood up for what was right, how can that man forgive? How can somebody who has been abused by their father forgive? How can any one of us who has been abused or offended in some way, how many has, I suggest everybody has been offended by somebody. How can he forgive? And you see, here's the answer. How many likes to hear the answer? Because Jesus Christ came. And on the cross, he took your sins and mine. He extended grace. And he's saying to you and I, the same way as I gave you grace, now extend it to somebody else. Oh, but Hans, I have forgiven them. I just don't love them. I mean, I don't like them. I mean, not that much. How many ever thought that? But you know what Jesus said? Love your enemies and pray for them. I looked in the Old Testament and I found plenty of illustrations of unforgiveness and bitterness. And one of them I want to share with you is in 2 Samuel 14. No, sorry, 2 Samuel 13. How many have heard of David? David is the king of Israel. And the king has several wives. Praise God, that's not permissible today. And he has sons and daughters from different wives. And one of his sons, and his name is Amnon. He falls in love with his sister, Tamar. And a cousin comes along and says to Amnon, Amnon, why don't you just pretend that you're sick and then ask your father to send Tamar with some food? And he thought, that's a great idea. So he has a little scheme going. And he pretends he's sick. And Tamar comes with some food. And he rapes her. You didn't know you can find all that kind of stuff in the Bible, did you? And she runs away, betrayed, defiled, hurting. Now Absalom, who is also David's son, and Tamar's sister watches. And he looks to David, his father, who does nothing. He does nothing. And Absalom builds a root of bitterness. And he plans, how am I going to kill Amnon? And he has a little scheme going, and he ended up killing him in revenge for what he did to his sister. And Absalom went hiding for a number of years. And then some men brought him back, and eventually he comes to David's house, to his father's house. He falls on his knees, it says, in 2 Samuel 14, He was his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. David forgave him. But the problem was, Absalom did not forgive his dad. So this is what I see when there's a bitter root. Absalom goes around and he begins to listen to people as if he was the king. And they come to him with issues. And he will say stuff like this, "No, if I was the king, this is how I would do it." And he set himself up as a judge of his father. And he begins to gain the trust of many people in Israel. Over half of them begin to trust him. Listen, my friends, how many have seen people with bitterness in their hearts? They will begin, and I see it all the time. Even in the election, the United States election. And you see, to me, it's the scheme of the devil. And you know how it happens? I get offended and I begin to whisper, you know. Do you know about this redhead girl? No. Okay. You know, some of you may, well, Hans, his sermon, they're sure boring. I don't like his tie. Oh, I never noticed. I never noticed his tie before. I never noticed he was boring. Oh, you know, I think you're right. And now there's two. And then, have you ever noticed that his ties are ugly? Have you ever noticed that his sermons are boring? And then there's three. And then there's four. And then there's five. And King Absalom gathers around him a whole group of people who are loyal, becomes loyal to him, and in the judgment against his father. Judgment of other people comes out of bitter root. And then David realizes what's happening. And he knows that he got to have to flee, or there'll be a civil war within the city of Jerusalem. He flees with his men, his loyal supporters, soldiers. And there's a war. How many knows the story? Absalom is defeated, and he gets his hair tangled up in some tree, and then he gets killed by David's general. And David grieves. He loved his son. Hear me, my friends. David had forgiven his son. He loved his son. He was grieved because he died. And the root cause of his death was bitterness, his heart. My friends, what bitterness does, it creates us and them. You see, as soon as you can portray somebody as bad and evil, you justify, you give yourself permission to hate. Because you're right, and they're wrong. You're right, but they're wrong. Do you know that Jesus never allowed that to take place? What was he doing when he went to the well, the Samaritan's woman at the well? What did he do? He talked to her. He loved her. He led her. He broke down the barriers that had been between the Jews and the Samaritans and women and Jesus. What did he do when he touched a leper? He healed him. He didn't have to touch him. But the leper was an outcast somebody that nobody wanted to be around, and nobody was even allowed to touch, and Jesus made a point of touching the leper. What was the story of the Good Samaritan? He was people who was very religious. And when there was a need of a man who was not a Jew, who was laying there beaten up, the religious people passed by. He wasn't one of theirs. And Jesus tells a story that a man came and he cared for him. And he said, you know, love your neighbor. The laborer is someone who was in need, no matter who they are. Amen? Jesus, never. Now here is the scripture that some of you have heard before. And I just want to read it to you. It's out of Matthew chapter 5. He says, you have heard, Matthew 5:21. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and then remember then that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. How many has ever been angry? How many here will never admit it, but you have actually called somebody a fool? How many has done that behind closed doors so nobody could hear it, so the... You didn't sound unchristian, but man, you did think it. Do you know what he's saying here? He's saying it's like murdering somebody. Do you know what Jesus is saying by saying that? He's saying we all fall short. There is no them and us. There's just Jesus and us. Just Jesus and us. We've all fallen short. And you see, he died for the sins of the whole world. And the only difference is some people has received his forgiveness. But when they have received the forgiveness, they have no right to point out what's wrong with others, because it was his grace that set them free. Not their holy, good, righteous works. Amen? We have no business creating barriers, them and us. And you see, when we ask them to forgive us, we're really saying, we're really no different than you are. We have received his grace and mercy. We have done that. But it's not because of our good works, it's because of what he has done. Amen. The good story in the good story in the Bible that to me illustrates forgiveness is a story of Joseph. I'm not going to don't have time to share the whole story, but I just want to quickly get to the point. Joseph is betrayed by his brothers. Joseph has a few dreams that somehow he's going to be powerful, and the brothers don't like hearing that dream. And he has another dream. And I don't know why he didn't learn from the first one, but when he goes and shares the second one, they hate him even more. And then they want to kill him. They put him in a well, and they want to stone him, but then they decide that's not a good thing to do. It's better just to sell him as a slave. So they sell him. And there he goes to be in house Potiphar's house. And the wife of Potiphar lusts for him. And he says no. And then she falsely accuses him of rape. Or attempted rape. He goes into jail. How many of you have been falsely accused of something you never actually did? How many knows that when you're falsely accused, that's a good time to have a bitter root? But somehow or another, he escaped that. In the jail, he still served God. And one day, the time came when Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph interpreted, and he was placed as the prime minister of Egypt. And then comes the moments where I'm after. The brothers come. They don't recognize him. But he recognized him. How many knows he had the power right there to destroy him? He could have unleashed his revenge when he saw him. You see him cry. He goes goes into another room and he cries. Why does he cry? This is his family. This is his imperfect family. Some of you are going to see your imperfect family in Christmas time. I believe he cried because he loved them. Then he goes out to them and he says to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with you yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Do you know what he did before then? He said to everybody in the room, leave. Because he didn't want anyone else to hear what his brothers had done. When you forgive from your heart, you really do not want anybody else to know what that person had done to you. If you forgive from your heart, you really would not want anyone else to know what that person has done to you. Then what he says is, in Genesis 50, what God intended, what you intended for harm, God intended for good. He forgave. And you know what he did? He blessed them. He gave them stuff. I tell you, when you forgive from your heart, you are not going to expose them to anybody else. And you're going to bless them. You're going to give them. Amen. How about Jesus? I just read the story and I'm going to end with that story. It's John Aldrich, John Ortberg tells the story. He says in his church one day, there was an elderly woman, her name is Mary, and then there was a man, and I'm not sure if I get his name right, Ordy, a younger man at her arm. Ordy and Mary goes to the stage and share the story. And this is the story. Ordy killed Mary's son. And he was charged with manslaughter. Mary was a Christian. She knew she needed to forgive, and she was in the at the funeral, and she forgave. How many knows you can forgive but still struggle with forgiving? Well, she struggled with forgiving. She struggled with the torment and the memories. So she thought, I'm going to talk to the guy. I'm going to talk to Ordy. She went to the jail and says, can I please talk to him? And they said, I don't think that's a good idea. So she went back again and she said, I really would like to talk to him. And he said, I don't want to talk to her because she's just going to blame me and accuse me. So she waited 9 months and she prayed, went back, and surprisingly, he said, okay. She came in and she had determined in her heart that she wanted to learn to know him first, who he is. And because she didn't come to judge him, but to find out who he is, who he was, his heart began to melt. At the end of the first week, after the end of the first meeting, he said, can I give you a hug? And something broke in her and in him. She established a relationship with him, visited him. The day he got released, she arranged for a party for him. And he moved in next door. She became his mentor in the faith of Jesus. How could she do that? Because of what Jesus had done to her. Let me just share a couple of things. When you go, who should I forgive? Who should I forgive in my heart? Just anyone and everyone who has offended you. It says in Ephesians 4, do not let the sun go down upon your anger. How many have read that? So that the devil doesn't get a foothold in you. So if you go home and you have an anger in your heart, deal with it. When? Today. But how shall I do it? How shall I be reconciled? I have discovered in my pastoral duties and with myself that there are ways that it's not working. Some people takes up the courage and they go to somebody and says, would you forgive me, Jenna? And then they go about to unload their hearts, all the things they thought about, all the things, and they unload it, and in a matter of seconds they destroy everything. You see, when somebody comes to you and says, would you please forgive me? It's like giving them a diamond. You don't stand with a diamond and say, I don't think this is a very good diamond. You don't do that. And when somebody has the courage and the humility to come to you and says, please forgive me, you take it as a treasure and say, this is an amazing thing to do. They are saying, I don't want anything to be between us. I want the walls to come down. And your response should always be, I forgive you. I love you. In some way or form, you should need to communicate that. And frequently, you're not responsible for what somebody else does. I'm not responsible for what my dad does. But when I open the door by taking responsibility for me, he opened the door to take responsibility for him. Do you know what happened with that woman, Mary and Ordi? She was set free. He was set free. But it took Mary to take the key that Jesus had handed to her. When I took the initiative to ask my Father to forgive me, it opened the door for me to have the best relationship with my dad for the rest of his life. Amen. There are ways of doing it, and there's definitely ways of not doing it. Sometimes there's times when you need to share what has gone on, but it's probably not the right time when they come humbly before you, ask for forgiveness. Amen. The Bible says, do not fall short of his grace. So that bitterness doesn't grow within you. And I found this scripture. And I'm going to end it with that. And I'm going to ask Paul to come. Praise God. He might. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10. Paul writes, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit you. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Unforgiveness and bitterness is really the scheme of the enemy. To steal your joy, your freedom. But hence, they're wrong. But hence, they hurt me. But hence, they were supposed to protect me and care for me and be with me, and instead they betrayed me. I know. Why don't they let God be the judge? Why don't let God release justice? And you forgive them and release them. Why not? Why not? Because in the end, they are sinners like you in need of grace. Amen? So let's stand. I just...